Petros and Marty show.
Who that is?
AM 570 LA Sports.
I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petros and Marty show.
Best case scenario.
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario.
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Now online at AM570LASports.com.
This is Petros and Marty.
Man is diminished if he lives without knowledge of his past. Without hope of a future, he becomes a beast.
Gong it out, Vic.
Yeah.
Petros and Money, AM 570 LA Sports. We just won't be defeated Wednesday.
And we will not be stopped. Rolling forward in a great day and great sports talk. It's also, what am I going to do with this guy Wednesday and walk the bike?
What am I going to do with this guy?
Wednesday, we're happy to have Vic the Brick in with us. This first segment, at least, as he's hanging out. Then. We got a great show for the people.
We wasted his efforts yesterday because Rob Manfred came on and we had to play the live presser.
We chopped it up with Vic a little bit about the presser.
Vic did mention pernicious.
And unctuous.
Unctuous.
You mentioned unctuous?
You said beyond pernicious.
Beyond feckless.
Beyond feckless.
Pernicious.
Yes.
I don't remember an unctuous.
No, I remember
it. I went unctuous.
Yeah,
really?
He went hard with it.
Oh, Vic, hard.
Oh, he was a snake.
Boy.
A snake in the grass.
Well, thank you.
Snake in the grass.
For being with us, Vic. Spring training is underway, as Vic just said, as the Dodgers are working out. And who's back?
Camelback.
In Arizona, and you can hear Dodger spring training games starting here. This Sunday, Dodgers versus Cubs, first pitch at noon on AM 570. And guess what? Next week, we're running all the games on the station, all week, every day, starting at noon.
What does that mean for Vic?
Hello.
Vic, are you off next week?
I will be walking up to the Dodger pregame show.
Okay, so you're here until during Colin. You'll be doing hanging out here until noon.
Getting everyone prepared for Dodger baseball.
Okay.
All right.
Every damn night.
But no Rogan and Rodney.
No Rogan and Rodney
Monday,
all week.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Boom.
Kevin Figgers from 78th in Vermont might be taking this opportunity to go back home and see the people in South Los Angeles that he hasn't visited in, say, a few years now. Kevin.
Plays Toluca. Toluca Lake all night.
I was there last week.
No, you weren't. You FaceTime.
Yeah, but you know what?
There would be a FaceTime.
Meeting your family at LA Live is not the same as going down to 78th in Vermont.
Or having a couple of pops at Yard House is not the same.
Yeah, getting over to Tom's Urban with the family is not the same. Now tell us.
You know they have a Habit up here, Mom. You should come
on down.
I mean, the burgers are amazing.
You ever been to the counter?
Have you had chutney in a burger before? Because it is something.
Tell us, Kevin, what are you going to do next week? I mean, are you going to Ibiza? Are you going to Yugoslavia, Croatia a while back, didn't you?
Vegas.
I did.
Where are you going, man?
Utah.
I mean, this is a real windfall a whole week.
South Dakota.
What's going on, Sodak?
A
we are your Sodak show
Dakota.
Of record. We can tell you all about We can tell you all about South Dakota. I mean, we'll get you there.
Oh, Cozumel.
Ooh.
No.
Playa del Carmen.
At the end of next week, I'm just making a small little trip down to Arizona for Dodger spring training.
Arizona! Like for work, or you're actually like going like as if you're going to drink beer and act
I'm going to do 20 ballparks in 17 hours.
I'm doing one ballpark on Saturday afternoon.
For what?
Next weekend. I mean, for what?
For what?
Why not? It's Dodger spring training. Come
you're going
what
to
do
Dodgers?
You mean for what? Yes, Camelback Ranch.
Like as a recreational thing?
Recreationally. I'm not going there for work.
You stay in the night?
Credential. Yes.
All right.
Friday or Saturday?
Friday night.
Have a good time.
That's it?
That's all I'm doing.
You got the whole week off.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just going to hang around.
Well, wow. I could be here doing some extra work.
My old Bonarino just went.
Right? What do you mean extra work?
Dodger spring training is not recreation for us. We're your Dodger station. We're running all the games on the station. You hear Dodger spring training games right here this Sunday. Dodgers Cubs.
Why don't you go to Hearst Castle?
Work for some of us is fun. I don't know.
Madonna Inn.
Exactly.
Pismo Beach.
Go to Solvang.
Oh.
Beautiful this time of year.
Shoemash.
Those windmills are nuts.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Windmills are nuts. Go to Ojai.
Kevin, I don't want you to overwork yourself to where you're like Tim Cates in July and the Dodgers still have like 2 months left in the season plus and you're out here and your puzzle's flaccid. We got to keep that lead in your pencil. And going to Dodger spring training on your week off is not a good way to stay leaded.
Well, yeah, if I'm going to go out there and have a couple of drinks, I won't do that. I'm going to Dodger Stadium and I'm credentialed.
Yeah,
I
but you can't come into work every day when you have no shows. There are zero shows
next
week.
Well, maybe every day. Maybe a couple.
Couple.
And the others are possibly still coming together. I'm not leaving town. Let's put it that way. I'm not leaving town.
You should go to Glamis.
Oh, Glamis. Get yourself a sweet, like, KX125, a Kawasaki dirt bike, and get out there and start tearing up them trails.
And if you're scared to drive, you can have somebody drive you in a dune buggy, and you can sit shotgun.
That's right. More my speed right there, okay. A dune buggy.
Knock that out. Airplane Graveyard, Tucson.
Oh.
Go hit that up, man.
Cindy Mancini.
Pretty cool. Mm. A million options, Kevin.
Well, that is sad for you, but Rogan and
I'm
Rodney.
I'm not sad in the least bit.
You should be.
Go to Tombstone. Fine. Ask Cates. He went.
Tell him about
Ask
it, Tim.
Ask him about that trip.
Okay,
that road
Corral.
Trip out there.
I suggest going to Tombstone.
See?
It's okay. Only a 90-minute drive from Tucson.
Well, we might do that.
See? That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to help you out, Kev. Don't feel like you have to come in. It's not your fault the Dodgers are playing during your show
that you'd
be producing for 3 hours every day, but instead don't have to do a lick of work. That's your fault.
Now, are we giving away the free travel trip today?
No.
That's you guys?
Yes, you guys are doing it tomorrow.
Who'd you give it to?
A caller.
What was his name?
Oh, for real? As opposed to what? Some guy that parachuted in?
What was your caller's
name? His
name
was
Red Frogan?
Matthew. His name was Matthew.
Okay, Mr.
Matt
Matthew.
Smith.
Mr. Matthew.
Matt Smith.
So I called in. I want my seat.
Keep listening. We'll give it away tomorrow. Rogan and Rodney will not be on next week, but your chance to win a free travel trip, your seat on board the AM 570 LA Spring Baseball Express. To Arizona. Check out the game on March 20th. It's our 11th spring training trip. You'll fly to Arizona, see a game, have a barbecue, and then fly back. Southwest Airlines, low fares, no hidden fees. That is transparency. And speaking of our own Tim Cates, how about this, Vic? Now, usually this is right up your alley,
okay. But
you're pretty beat up, and you got a ticket this week, and your car farts gas worse than Leonardo DiCaprio's plane. So you got some issues.
Sure.
But I'll tell you what.
Sure, I do.
Saturday. Are you hard of hearing?
Yes.
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
This
rock and roll, y'all.
Saturday, can we have some musical accompaniment? Maybe the Booyah Tribe from Wilmington, nearby neighbor of Carson.
Maybe some patriotic music. Maybe you're a grand old flag.
What about the Booyah Tribe? They don't vote? Join Tim Cates?
When I think of getting out the vote,
I don't think of
the Booyah Tribe.
Think about Carson. You think about raid everybody on the dance floor. Raid.
I'm just trying to get the vote out.
Yes. And Tim Cates and Garvey will get the vote out with you Saturday morning from 9 to 11:30. Carson Civic Center, LA vote. Any voter can go to any vote center and make your voice heard in the presidential primary election. Who's going to show up for Tim Cates?
Everybody.
Who's going to show up for Steve Garvey?
Even more everybody.
If there's even such a way. To get more excited about a Tim Cates remote, you add Steve Garvey, and that's like adding mustard to the hot dog, baseball style. Go to lavote.net and go see them at the Carson Civic Center, which is one of the finest civic centers in all of the South Bay.
Love a good civic center.
Oh, come on.
Love a good civic center.
It kicks North Redondo's civic center's ass. Which formerly is Aviation High School, home of Paul Westfall. Let's go Falcons.
Get a lot done at a civic center, you know.
Well, you can get some great sports talk in with a great sports talk conduit, Tim Cates and Steve Garvey. Cates, what is the format for that show? What do? Just scream about voting?
LAvote.net for all the information.
The Carson Community Center, as Cates prepares to speak to us, has a community hall. It has 12,000 square feet.
It's not a nighttime show, Ronnie. It's from 9 to 11:30 a.m.
It's got a 30-foot tall ceiling. It's got an 8,100 square foot atrium.
And it invites all people of Carson. Polynesians, blacks, whites, Latinos, everybody invited to the Asians. Everybody invited to the Carson Civic Center.
Don't matter. Don't matter your pay grade, your tax bracket. Color, your creed, your sex, you're all invited to vote. Get out the vote. It is right there by the DoubleTree by Hilton Hotel in Carson.
Is Cates working his rundown or something? He's not going to come and address this? That's, you know, that's sad.
Off the 405.
Just to show me how much, how invested he is in this big show on
at
Saturday.
East Carson Street.
Just going to lean on Garvey, Cates? You're not going to bring anything to the table? That's a shame.
It is sandwiched right between.
Well, what you do is you just get off the 110 on Carson Street and go left, and you'll run right into Cates.
That's exactly right.
You'll just keep on going down.
Or the 405 and go left.
Yeah, you'll run right into Cates. Carson Street's not hard to navigate. So, you know what? You know what? That is racially insensitive. That is racially insensitive.
What about a nice Colt Burger?
You know what?
You get a nice Colt Burger there
Colt
for lunch.
Colt Burger has not been open in 30 years, at least. 40, 35 years. My father's failed burger stand.
What is the name of the place that took its...
Well, it's a chain, Matt. The Fantastic Cafe. A fabulous...
Love the Fantastic Cafe.
Yeah, it's one of those. Which is owned by another Greek guy. Go figure.
I can see that as...
How can you?
Just when you go to the Fantastic Cafe there on Studebaker in Long Beach, you have a wide variety of things available to you.
Now, there are two fantastic cafes. Yeah, you got Yitos all the way to Tostadas and burgers in between and breakfast burritos and all of that.
Oh, the breakfast.
Now, yo, breakfast at Fantastic is fantastic. Now, there are two fantastic cafes in San Pedro. The one on Gaffey that has a drive-thru, Chano's-esque. And one that is at risk from a poacher, like a real estate dad, on 25th and Western.
Is that the one that's deep by the water?
That's the one that's deep
by the sea. That's the one I'm looking at. That's open till 11 p.m. tonight.
That's the one that I grew up with. That's the one that is really close to my heart. And it is...
Fantastic?
It's at risk. It is at risk. Some say they're going to turn it into a Chase Bank or something.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it might go away. But, yeah, you can go to the Fantastic Cafe in Carson. Colt Burger, no longer open. Do you have plans, Cates, for your show? Do you have a rundown or anything that you want?
Not yet. Still efforting what I'm going to do on the show. But I know
you're just going to lean on Garvey, aren't you?
Garvey and I are going to chop it up for 2.5 hours. You know, chop it up.
Beautiful. Now, beautiful. The Fantastic Cafe.
How's that going to get out the vote?
Come vote and see Garv. Tell him who you're voting for.
If you want to hit up the Fantastic Cafe, you're going to get familiar dinner fare.
Yes.
And Mexican specialties.
They have it all, Matt.
They got it all.
I mean, they really do. And they have some more health-conscious choices these days.
People want.
Fantastic Cafe is it's a staple. You know, long high school football practice on a Saturday morning during camp, over to Fantastic Cafe, double bacon cheeseburger, breakfast burrito, onion rings, french fries. You know,
bacon,
really
eggs, what do you want?
Really loaded up.
By the way, guys, speaking of food, there's food upstairs on the fifth floor.
Go now.
I just went up there.
For yourself?
It's Greek food.
What do they got?
Something, chickpeas?
That's not Greek.
Okay.
Mediterranean.
Potatoes, they're out of all meat, and they've got, what do you call these things?
That'd be pita bread.
Pita bread, yeah.
What do you call these things?
So it is Mediterranean food.
I was leaning towards Greek.
It's like a Lebanese thing, yeah. That's
they sent an email after everybody had already eaten it, so it's cold food, but it's still sitting there.
Thanks for nothing.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good thing that you missed out when we were calling your name to plug your event on Saturday.
No problem.
So you could get your falafel, pita, and what was the other thing
your
you had
cold
there?
Pita potato? Bread.
Chickpeas.
No hummus.
No
hummus. No hummus?
That's a falafel.
That's a falafel. That's your chickpea thing. And then what's the other thing? Potatoes?
Just potatoes with some kind of sauce on it.
That's a meal for a hobo.
Oh, Matt.
I'm saying, if there's no meat and you've got cold potatoes.
That's not what they call
cold.
They're called Bedouins in that part of the world. They're not hobos.
Wanderers.
Nomads.
Wanderers.
And Bedouins.
Bedouins.
They wander.
That's a Bedouin meal, not a hobo meal.
No.
Hobo meal here is like I got a dollar from a dude where I was laid out on the street and I went and got a cheeseburger at Mickey D's and ate it in one bite like a Skittle. That's a hobo meal.
He is dipping his pita in French dressing. That is a hobo meal.
No.
When you're dipping bread.
Bedouin. Bedouin. Matt, respect the Persians. Bedouin.
I got cold potatoes. I got this chickpea thing.
Everybody's welcome out at the Carson on Saturday, 9 to 11.
At the Carson?
All people.
Tim
Carson
Cates,
Civic Center.
Yep.
Starring Warren Beatty, Dustin Hoffman, Ishtar.
What is this thing called?
Chickpea thing.
Pita bread?
Yeah, okay. That's not Greek food, okay? You take that and shove it.
Somebody said it was. Matt and I from social media went up there, and they said, what kind of food is this? They said, Greek food.
Great. It's not. There's no falafels in Greece.
Maybe it came from the Mad Greek. That's what happened.
In Baker?
Exactly right.
Is that still there?
I think so.
Is the Mad Greek still in Baker right by the world's biggest thermometer that actually isn't a thermometer? Doesn't have any mercury in it?
It's just digital. It's a digital sign. That's all it is.
It's just like a big digital butt plug.
That's one way to describe
it. What?
you got the Mad Greek, and then you got the shake. Can't remember the name of the store where you get the shake.
You're talking about Hadley's Date Farm. That's a different place.
No, no, they have the famous strawberry shake in Baker, right there where the thermometer is.
I just know the Bun Boy.
Bun Boy.
Well, that's where the freaking thermometer is, brother.
Right. Bun Boy, thermometer, strawberry shake, Mad Greek, not as packed.
It is still there. The and Mad Greek Cafe is still there.
Perfect.
It's a good spot.
Yeah, let's go.
The food I'm eating looks a lot like the food they have at the Mad Greek Cafe.
It's actually probably same level of quality, to be honest with you. There's a reason that Greek hasn't made it closer to the more populated areas.
I love it here.
Of Southern California.
I raised my family here. Why would I move?
Well, there's no Greek Orthodox church around.
And that's a town of like 60 people.
All the way to State Line to go to church, brother. All right, well, we have more PMS. We have a film fight today, which we will preview in the very next segment. I have a USC story for you guys as well. We also have more talk about baseball cheating with David Vasse and the immortal Rob Dibble, who is joining us from the East Coast. He's been all over the place today, one of the nastiest pitchers of all time, and one of the nasty boys will join us to talk about
how nasty, mean boy.
Well, he was
nasty,
and never such a dirty, dirty, nasty boy to where he would do what the Astros did. Not Rob Dibble. No one's that dirty.
Dirty, nasty boy.
You're a dirty, you dirty, dirty boy. So Dibble will join us in the very next hour, I believe, in the 4 o'clock hour. But right now, I mean,
they close the Bun Boy?
It's possible, Matt. You're going to have to get that shake somewhere else, brother. You have to take it all the way down to Buffalo Bills to take that shake, brother.
What the hell?
Sorry, man.
How are you going to close the Bun Boy?
How are you going to...
Is the thermometer still there?
How are you going to be John Beard? Ain't got no beard. I don't know how the Bun Boy closes and the thermometer stays. But then
and
again...
the Mad Greek.
I don't really understand the Civic...
World's tallest thermometer still there.
Okay. So the Civic goings-on in Baker...
Bun Boy not.
Still proud of the thermometer... Ready to let go of the Bun Boy and the strawberry.
Oh, Vic, you know what they got right by the Mad Greek?
Mm.
The Baker Smog Check.
Really?
I bet they'd take a 50 off you.
Okay.
Get you to pass.
You know, I think Alhambra.
That's not so big.
It's just
I'm
fine.
Driving a Baker.
Don't do it.
See the thermometer and get a smog check.
Last time you tried to drive that far, you almost died, and we had to call your male nurse
that's
true. To come and save you, Mr. Fokker.
It was a success story.
It was.
It really was.
Well. Except, it was a success story, except for Doom and Cates had it out, and Doom no longer visits the city.
We lost a friend.
He'll be back.
Bury a friend.
I don't think so.
The next PMS Summit Tour, he'll be back. Upset. He'll be back. There'll be a revival.
He's back on his pirate ship. He's left.
Thanks for the update.
Everybody wants to know what's going on in Baker. You got a Subway, you got a Denny's, you got a Carl's Jr., you got a Burger King, you got a Del Taco, the world's tallest thermometer, and you got the Mad Greek.
It's got stuff.
Beyond that, I'm not sure what it's got. But, you know, I mean...
I raised my kids here.
We can name, like, three
Baker's
things...
Baker's good enough for me.
We can name, like, three different things that are in Cleveland, and it's about the same as we can name three different things in Baker. You know, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you got the Browns, you got the Indians. And the Cavs, there's four. In Baker, Bun Boy's closed, but you got the world's tallest thermometer, Sizzix Road adjacent, you got your Mad Greek, and the Smog Check closed.
Thermometer transcends.
You know, but it's not a thermometer.
No,
that's
it's just
the thing.
A digital
it's a
sign.
It's a lot.
It's just a.
It's not a big.
No, it's not a thermometer. There's no mercury.
I gotta get out there. See, I have to do some research.
And you could just build a it's sign that
shaped,
puts the number up
it's
there.
It's shaped like a phallus.
Okay.
And it has a number on it. And it says it's 150 degrees. Why in God's name are you here?
Not the world's tallest thermometer. It's not a thermometer. It's a neon sign.
It makes you wonder, what is the world's tallest thermometer? Just probably a really long, normal thermometer.
I'm going to say, probably doesn't exist,
it's
because
like,
if it broke and the mercury scattered everywhere, it'd be a giant health hazard and people would die.
It's not going to be like, Main Street floods with mercury, but the world's tallest thermometer might just be like 6 inches long.
There's a crazy amount of mercury in here. It is lethal.
F you, Baker. Some guy right now is calling the Guinness Book with a long-ass thermometer that's like the size of his femur bone.
Yeah.
We'll be right back with more PMS on AM570 LA Sports. There is a store we missed in Baker that people like, and it's very popular, called Alien Fresh Jerky.
Alien? Okay, I'm looking at Marketplace 15.
No, this place is huge. I got like five or six texts saying Alien Jerky is the spot. That's
we are your Baker show of record.
Well, if we're going to do a show in Baker, with all due respect to
the man
of my heritage.
Oh, here it is.
The Mad
Alien
Greek. Yeah.
Fresh Jerky.
It's huge.
It is.
They got teriyaki jerky, every kind of jerky you could ever want.
Oh.
Look at it. It's cool.
Dude, I mean, looks like a UFO. They got a UFO car. They got aliens out front with the peace sign.
Baker's a lot better than we thought.
No wonder they haven't moved out of the Mad Greek. They got alien fresh jerky now.
I don't know if there are actual accommodations that would work for us, but
there's an RV park, so we just lean on Tim Conway Jr.
Yeah, the RV show.
Go to the RV store and rent us an RV. Mike Thompson, take it out there. You know, I mean, I heard Vinny on with Rogan and Rodney today from Vegas.
There's a Denny's.
He connected somehow to get on for a full hour.
Yeah, we'll see how that works next week. Now, Matt, we do have a film fight today, so very briefly, we will tease it up for you, the listener, because Jovan Buha is going to join us in the next segment to tell us about the Clippers trading for Reggie Jackson and getting Morris and doing all the stuff that they did. So let's start. We're going to have a cheating movie film fight.
Cheating-ass cheaters.
8 men out, obviously. Everybody's talking about the Black Sox from way back in the day, 1919. 8 men out, a great movie starring Cusack, Christopher Lloyd, Charlie Sheen. We all know 8 men out. It's about the Black Sox, the most maligned baseball team since the 2017 Houston Astros. Here's the trailer.
Edward Seacott, Joseph Jefferson Jackson, Arnold Gandil, Charles Risberg, Oscar Felch, Claude Williams, and George Weaver are hereby accused of conspiracy to commit a confidence game.
We're going to see the Sox.
Baseball, 1919. There were no free agents, no million-dollar salaries, but there was a team no one could beat. The true story of the team they called the Black Sox and the scandal that broke the heart of a nation.
Any bet against my Sox this series is a sucker bet.
You can find 7 men on the best club willing to throw the World Series?
Come on, Joe! Sure, Joe ain't in.
I ain't.
You want me?
You don't want to be stupid, do you, Joe?
Now you just sign your name right there, Joe.
They were an American dream come true. The best that ever were. 9 men took the field, but when the game was over, there were 8 men out.
What do you think of these players of yours now, Mr. Gleason?
I think they're the greatest ball club I ever seen, period.
Don't you forget it. Classy.
Good soundtrack.
Classy, heady film. 8 men out. But Matt has ventured out of the baseball world to find his cheating-ass cheaters.
Cheaters, cheating, and getting over on people that ain't cheating. 1994, directed by William Friedkin. Nolte. O'Neill. O'Neill. Hardaway. Blue Chips.
I will not have the first losing season in 40 years at this university.
You are not getting the kind of athletes that we used to.
Yeah, but the program's clean, Chancellor.
It is time to tell Coach Petey Bell to take a hike.
I don't do well take a hike. Losing, do I?
You've won 2 national championships. You've won 8 conference titles. I don't call this losing.
What efforts are you and your staff making as far as recruiting is concerned?
We got the inside track on some great ball players this year.
You get those guys, you are in the Final Four next year.
Right. Let's get these guys.
He's never been coached. He's totally raw.
Neon, please try not to step on the children.
Okay, all right.
If I couldn't play basketball, would you be trying to get me in college?
No.
At least you're honest.
I figure a white blue chip athlete like myself
that was Shaq.
Deserves something extra, about 30 grand. I'd like to have it in cash.
Get the hell out of here, Ricky! Get out of here!
All the other schools are doing it, Coach.
I know everything. I know what Butch McRae's mother wants.
You really want your son to start out life by learning how to bend and break the rules? I mean, what's he going to become?
A meanie?
That's right.
I did not authorize a car for Ricky, but you did authorize the friends of the program to do what had to be done.
He bought him, Charlie. I know he bought him.
We're going to be on top again.
Did you cheat? A foul is not a foul unless the referee blows his whistle.
Did you take money?
No!
We owe them this money.
Bob Cousy
is the AD, that's right. Oh, expensive music.
Blue Chip versus 8 Men Out will do it at 5 o'clock. So stay tuned for the Wednesday night film fight on the Petros and Money Show. That brings us to the flip top story of the day. It can't be a full top story because it just can't. That's why I did. Because, Matt, I can't suffer it. That's why. I'll flip you out.
I will flip you out.
This is the flip top story of the day.
Wow, that was the old flip top story.
Good.
Before it was sponsored.
Good pull. Because we don't have that sponsor anymore.
No.
Play it again. I like that.
I'll flip you out. I will flip you out.
Nice.
This is the flip top story of the day.
Matt, if you were paying attention this week, USC has done what they've done every offseason recently, while their much maligned coach, Clay Helton, has reached, well, a level of ineptitude.
Pete Goober?
Well, a level of ineptitude that has really upset the fan base to a mutinous type of point.
What level are you at? I'd say mutinous.
So they do whatever. That's way over threat level orange. So they do their SID does what, or their PR guy, does what he does every offseason, which is call in a favor from a national writer to write something nice about Clay Helton and how you don't understand how hard it is to be Clay Helton, and he got oral surgery and his teeth hurt.
Oral surgery, huh?
And people, he had Dave Aranda wrapped up before the Baylor job.
Before Baylor became open.
Yeah, he was for sure.
Aranda was coming.
Coming to USC, that whole thing. This year, the culprit, not Pat Forty of Sports Illustrated or Pete Thamel of Sports Illustrated or Tom Friend or somebody like that, this year's culprit was, oh my God, it's Dennis Dodd of CBS.
Dear friend of your restaurant.
Not really.
Oh.
But not a bad guy. I've always kind of liked Dennis Dodd. But he's the guy that got the call this year to come out. I think Thamel got the call to come out 1 year from the UCLA PR department and write something nice about Josh Rosen. That was the girl homies.
That went over really
well. Are constantly defending me.
Was that the video accompaniment? Oh, no. That was different. That was pros.
Years later. But this year it was Dennis Dodd's job to polish the turd. And I got to say, I just don't have the energy for it, Matt. I can't go through the motions again this offseason. The headline, Clay Helton has no time for your hate. The Clay Helton is building a winner.
It feels a lot like 2011.
It feels a lot like, yes.
There's the Rose Bowl team.
There's a lot of that in
very
there.
Very familiar.
This is a special group
here of
young men. Last year was a special group of young men.
It was.
And the year before, a very special group.
Don't undersell us.
Of young men.
It'll be at your own peril.
Look, 85 full scholarships at any place is probably going to be a pretty special group of young men, Coach. So the whole Clay Helton is building a winner narrative is out there again. Remember last summer.
Don't they have the best looking team every year? Shouldn't they in the Pac-12?
Yeah, but in a year or two, these really bad recruiting classes.
This might be the year, actually, where that finally tips.
Well, we'll see. I mean, in a year or two, the recruiting classes are supposed to catch up. But we'll see, Matt. Obviously, the games have to be played. They open up against Alabama. Most people are just shocked, like I am, that Mike Bone, the AD, was forced, apparently, to keep Clay Helton by the tone-deaf USC president, Carol Folt. Now, last year, the summertime and springtime model was, well, don't worry about all these fired assistants. You know, this is like Brian Kelly. We're going to do what Brian Kelly did at Notre Dame. Remember the Notre Dame model? He fired a lot of guys, all of his assistants,
and restocked, and they were great back in the playoffs.
Still have a lot of success. You know, the only problem is Brian Kelly, a lot more accomplished before, after, and during, you know, any
continued to participate in the postseason
every year. That has not been the case at USC. So that was when he fired a bunch of assistants, and USC was supposed to be like Notre Dame. That was the last message for the offseason. This year's message with Mike Bone is the Ed Ogeron approach, because, you know, who could have seen Ed Ogeron coming, right? The Ed Ogeron approach of let your coaches coach, or
hire great assistant coaches
and let them coach,
and you just rally the troops, be that figurehead, do the media. Problem is, Ed's a dynamic personality,
right? And somebody who
someone you would rally
inspires
around.
Players,
yes.
And recruits
like a mother scratcher,
gets it going, and actually to be honest with you, from my own personal experience, which is not small when it comes to Ed Orgeron, Ed can freaking coach. Ed can coach D-line. Ed can coach linebackers. Ed can coordinate a defense. Ed can build a team through recruiting. He knows how many O-linemen you need, how many running backs you need. He knows how to stock the stable, so to speak. So it's not the right comparison. Stop comparing Clay Helton to any coach that's had success. Other than the Rose Bowl with Sam Darnold. That's it. And I think most people see that very far in the rear view. But not Dennis Dodd. For Dennis Dodd has written an epic puff piece. You know, a couple years ago, I could read one of these puff pieces. Because you know me, Matt. I believe in the power of the spoken word. Almost anything I have ever heard sounds believable to me. Because if it's said with conviction... The first 3 years, I never thought you ever said anything wrong. If it's said with...
I don't know what you get out of it if you're Dennis Dodd. There's...
I'll tell you exactly what you get.
What do you get? When they fire him and they hire the next guy, you get Urban.
You get Bob Stoops.
With the next guy we hire, you will get
You break the,
guy.
The news. Sources say.
Do this for us now.
Well, what do you think Pete Thamel and all those guys were doing? Destroying that guy Adam Maia when he erroneously reported that Clay Helton had been fired. Let me tell you a little something, and maybe it's too many tales out of school. The guy that told Adam Maia, the Sports Illustrated writer, that Clay Helton was going to be fired was one of the administrators that they just fired. I mean, he had a source high up in the athletic department that told him, we pulled the trigger. Anybody would have run with that story. But that's how fragmented USC is and how they don't have their story straight. That guy was on the outside, about to be fired. You have the USC SID call in Pete Thamel and Pat Forty to attack this younger, mouth-breathing writer and get him basically discredited.
Doesn't seem like that's a detail that needs to be shared.
I'm a mouth-breather.
I know, but that doesn't mean that you have to say Adam Maia is a mouth-breather. Maybe he doesn't want people to know he's a mouth-breather. He just writes. He doesn't speak. So
do you know who else
hear him speak.
Is a mouth-breather, and it is well-documented?
Well, because they routinely show him on the sidelines with his mouth open.
The picture that pops up when you freaking Google the guy's name... Double mouth breather, like double rainbow acid trip, Clay Helton.
There has not been a mouth breather patrolling the sidelines like Clay Helton in a long time. His mouth is always open.
No. Not since, what was, Chuck Amato. Okay, but, Matt, I do, like, a couple years ago, I could read one of these articles written by one of these fine authors. And say, you know what?
Dennis Dodd been doing it a long time.
Yeah, you know what? He got me. He pulled a heartstring there. Oh, his tooth hurts. Oh, he called that recruit. You know, but now 3 years later, I mean, how tiresome is it to go through the motions? Like even defenders of Clay Helton a couple years ago, like how do you keep pumping out? It's almost like the rites of spring. You know a couple national writers calling in a favor, and maybe it's something they owe him from before. Maybe there is no payback for this. For Dennis Dodd. Maybe Dennis Dodd is paying off something that he broke before or something, but I'm just so tired of it. I'm just so tired. It's so fatiguing going through the motions every single offseason about Clay Helton is working hard and there's a new attitude and a new approach to USC football and you don't know and ignore the haters and nobody really knows what's going on here. And we had Dave Aranda wrapped up.
That's the headline. That is the headline in Dennis Dodd's tweet.
Why would Dave Aranda leave LSU as the defensive coordinator to take a parallel job
at
USC?
With inferior talent and a head coach that is going to likely be fired maybe after week one.
Well, I guess that's why you take it. But, I mean, he got a head coaching job elsewhere. But why would he take a job that's parallel at a place that doesn't have the same talent because SC is down right now talent-wise? We all know that. Taxes are very high. Poor Joe Burrow's probably going to think about that if some people think he's going to be a Charger.
Or a Ram. Look out. Look out.
There's nowhere. You're not going to live in South
Mike Brown,
Los Angeles.
We'll trade you Jared Goff for the number one pick. What do you think?
It's such BS. Yeah. It's such BS propaganda. And it happens now every offseason. The USC PR guy calls one of these people that owes him a favor from 10 years ago when Pete Carroll did a sit down with him or something and says, you know, I need you to do a sit. Clay Helton didn't talk to the local media on signing day.
So
guess who he talked to? This guy.
This guy.
Dennis Dunn. Yeah. And he did the Puff Piece
said
radio.
He couldn't do it because of the root canal, couldn't do the local media, but he sat down with Dennis Dunn.
And he did the radio interview with
the friendly radio with your affiliate, your flagship.
Right. But he didn't, I mean, you don't address the local media on signing day like every other coach in the country, but you do a Puff Piece with Dennis Dunn. F that.
The much like the Gail King Lisa Leslie leak, hey, be sure to tune in because look what Gail did here that obviously backfired on them. But
very small part of the story.
You want to link a nugget that has people go, ooh, I got to click. The nugget that Dennis Dodd chose to leak about his story because it lacks anything interesting is, quote, apparently USC football had Dave Aranda wrapped up as its new DC before Baylor opened up.
Yeah, that's what that.
That's
thank you.
That's what's supposed to pull you in. Like, ooh, you had Dave Aranda before Baylor offered him a head coaching position.
But you ended up.
I gotta read
hiring the guy that got fired at Texas, who had a linebacker job at Texas Tech.
I know you like to belittle him, but Orlando sounds a lot like Aranda. I mean, maybe they're the same guy. Aranda, Orlando.
I don't want to belittle Todd Orlando. I'm just saying he's not a hot hire, Matt. And just because their names
like
sound the same.
Maybe people would be like, isn't that the guy that was at LSU? Maybe.
Hey, there was a time that Orlando was a hotter hire than Aranda.
Right?
But my point is, none of it matters. It's all BS.
It was 3 hours of oral surgery. 3 hours of oral surgery that he suffered through in order to sit down with Dennis Dodd and do this interview.
Shame on you, USC PR department. I mean, I know that people are stupid because I'm a person and I'm stupid and I'm gullible. But nobody's this stupid, except for you guys and bald-ass Dennis Dodd. We'll be right back with Jovan Buha.
Yeah, Buha. Metro Sand, Money on AM570 LA Sports, your home of the Dodgers. David Bassey will be along in our 5 o'clock hour. Rob Dibble in about 40 minutes to talk Astros cheating scandal and all things Dodgers and spring training as the games will begin. You'll hear your first spring training game on the home of the Dodgers, AM570 LA Sports, right here Sunday. Dodgers versus Cubs, first pitch at noon, and that will carry throughout the week. Every single day, next week, beginning Sunday, a spring training contest right in the middle of the day. Nooners, all week long on your home of the Dodgers.
Well, let's check in with our friend from The Athletic, covering the Clippers hard.
Jovan.
Clip City Podcast, Jovan Buha. Got you all in check. Does Jovan Buha. Clippers seem to have a lot of front office moves in check as they pulled off the big moment of the summer, free agent signing of Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and now reinforcements, Morris, Jackson. What does it all mean? Jovan Buha's here to let us know as the Clippers are off until Saturday. And then we'll have him play him right here on AM570 LA Sports. Jovan on the Chevy Silverado Celebrity Hotline. Yo, Mama, how are you? What's going on?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, you know, we're all right. Tell us, because, you know,
we're not on all-star break like you are, but we're pretty good.
We're not playing chess.
I'm recovering.
Where
I'm
everybody recovering. Else is playing checkers, you know. Is that really what's happening here? Chess versus checkers? Is that how good this Clipper front office is? Or is this maybe a little bit overblown? I mean, I just look at Adam Oslin's Twitter, and it makes me feel like the Clippers are an unstoppable force. You know, like the Celtics with Bill Russell.
From a talent perspective, it clearly is a no-brainer move. I mean, Reggie Jackson was the best guy available on the buyout market. Point guard has been a bit of a weakness for the Clippers all season. They don't really have that traditional floor general. Patrick Beverley's more of a 3-and-D guard. It's been a lot of Lou Williams and Kawhi Leonard and Paul George handling the ball, and those guys obviously are more of scorers than ball handlers and playmakers. With that being said, I do have some reservations with this move, only in that Reggie Jackson himself is kind of a shoot-first scoring guy. And I think now adding him into this, if he's willing to accept a 10 to 15 minute a night, you know, bench role and really buy into what the Clippers are doing and the role they want for him, I think this is a great move, and it really could swing a playoff series, you know, potentially swing the championship decidedly in the Clippers' favor. But if he doesn't, then I just think it's another guy who needs the ball, another guy who's looking for his shot. And you really now have like seven guys on this team who think they should be playing 30-plus minutes, who think they should be averaging 15-plus points a game. And it's just not how basketball works. Like, this isn't a fantasy basketball team where you just keep adding, you know, scorers and offensive guys into a team and it just works seamlessly. Like, guys need to pass up shots. Guys need to move the ball. Guys need to look for their teammates. And my only kind of reservation with this is Reggie Jackson has kind of traditionally been a score-first guy, a guy who looks for his own shot before his other teammates. And he's not really that traditional point guard that, that I think the Clippers could use. So from a talent perspective, you know, having him as your ninth or tenth guy is a no-brainer. He does improve their roster from that perspective. But I'm not fully on board with the clear fit with him next to Lou Williams, him next to Landry Shamet. I think there's going to be an adjustment period there. And is he willing to go from the 30 minutes a night he's playing in Detroit, the 14 points and 5 assists, to 12 minutes a night, to 6 or 7 points a night, to 2 assists
for
a night?
A ring.
You know, how does he handle that?
What about just the idea that it's playing defense? That picking up Marcus Morris is keeping him off the Lakers, picking up Reggie Jackson. I would assume, you know, whatever with your minutes, right? It's just more, hey, at least you ain't there. I mean, like, how, put it this way, Jovan, in your opinion, how much would this have helped the Lakers had Reggie Jackson landed there or any other team in the Western Conference?
Oh, I think it would have helped the Lakers a lot. I think he's definitely better than Rajon Rondo and could have soaked up those minutes and helped them. So I think, I mean, that's clearly, you know, as I wrote, you know, I wrote about the move last night, like the clear win for the Clippers here is that this is now the third guy that could have gone to the Lakers that ended up on the Clippers. You know, first obviously being Kawhi Leonard over the summer, then Marcus Morris at the trade deadline, now Reggie Jackson. Those are three guys that obviously if Kawhi goes to the Lakers, we're not even having this discussion, you know, with Lakers Clippers. But if Marcus Morris ends up on the Lakers or Reggie Jackson ends up on the Lakers, I think that's another solid rotation player that, you know, gives them scoring. Cause I think with the Lakers, there's some questions on their scoring after LeBron and AD. Like, those guys, I think, would help the Lakers more than they are going to help the Clippers just because the Lakers can use their offense more. With the Clippers, it's not really offense. Like, this team, again, has, you know, at least seven guys, but you could really stretch it to all ten. Like, to me now, with adding Reggie Jackson, they have 10 guys who could start on most teams in the league or at least half the league, looking at their starters and their five bench guys. And all those guys could average double-digit points with you know, 28, 30 minutes a night. So it's really going to be getting everyone now to buy into the roles that Doc sees for them, whatever those minutes are, whatever those shots and points are. Because, again, like my one thing here is, you know, someone's going to be unhappy. And it might be Reggie Jackson, but it could be Patrick Beverley. It could be Landry Shamet or Lou Williams kind of sees a reduction in minutes. Like, because if Reggie Jackson is taking Rodney Magruder's role, which it seems like he is, that's only 10 minutes a night. So if he's playing 15, 18 minutes a night, Lou's playing less or Landry's playing less or Pat's playing less. And those guys probably already playing, you know, fewer minutes than they want to be. So to me, from a talent perspective, again, he definitely helps the team. I'm just very interested to see how Doc kind of juggles the minutes, the roles, the shots.
Jovan, I'm going to jump in there just because we're right up against it. What's happening with Paul George? The guy has been hurt since he arrived, and it seems like now he's dealing with what, a hammy?
Yeah, we don't know yet because you know he got injured in the second quarter of that Boston game. It was the last game before the All-Star break. The team has not had a practice or any media availability since then. So at that time when we talked to Doc, he did not have any update other than he is a little bit concerned because now this is going to be the third time Paul George has missed time with this specific injury, his left hamstring. You know, we saw him leaving the locker room, get a wrap around his waist, and he was walking with a little bit of a limp. So it is a concern for sure because, you know, Kawhi Leonard is clearly the number one guy on this team, and you know, the record shows that without him, where they've really struggled to win games, even against lesser opponents without him. So Kawhi's not healthy. You know, this is not a championship contender. But number two on that list and right behind him is Paul George. And I do think this team could make a finals run and potentially win it all without him if it came to that. But you really obviously want him there for all the stuff you gave up this summer to get him. So I think his health has been a concern all season. You know, it seems like he can't play more than 10 to 12 games without dealing with something. So that really is one of the biggest storylines for this team, you know, in the second half of the year or the final third is, you know, can they get him healthy? Can they reacclimate him? Because he'd been a little weird offensively. He's been averaging about 17 points a game for the last month or so. You know, he had kind of been struggling offensively. So they got to get him back going in the offense and get him healthy, because if he's not healthy by mid-April, you know, this team is, I think, vulnerable in a playoff series.
Jovan, we love you. They call him Hova out there covering the Clippers. That's how much the players love him. Oh, yeah, he's big time for the Athletic. Good stuff, Jovan Buha. We appreciate you joining us. We will talk to you soon. Corrections and retractions, Matt. It wasn't Fantastic Cafe.
Corrections and retractions.
That took over.
Colt Burger.
Colt Burger. But it was a Greek burger place that has Yudos and all that. Famous Burger in Carson, 234th and Main Street, owned by Costa and Nick Vlachos, which literally means hillbilly in Greek.
That's good. Famous cafe.
So get on down to Famous Burgers when you visit Tim Cates and Steve Garvey at the Carson Civic Center, 9 to 11:30.
Right. And right off Carson Street, 405.
You can't miss.
The 110.
And Famous Burgers, not far from there, 234th and Main. That's 9 to 11:30 for the LA vote. Get out the vote on Saturday morning, live.
Bye.
We'll be right back with your word number song of the day. No, Carson Civic Center. Word number song of the day next.